I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. Been talking a lot about the body, mind, and spirit balance triangle. It is a well-known topic discussed philosophically in the martial arts, and if you train, I know you know what I'm talking about. Just a quick recap about spend a lot of time working on our bodies, because obviously we want to train, we want to be in good shape. Usually in martial arts, you know, you have to come to class at least twice a week for several years before you were even allowed to test for the rank of black belt. Several meaning probably at least four, a minimum of four for most traditional martial arts styles. In our mind, you know, we graduate high school. We know we got to go to college if we want to get the better careers as far as mainstream careers are concerned. We still will do what we can do, meeting of the minds and Zoom meetings, reading magazines, industrial trade, periodicals, books, whatever, because we want to be able to have our mind in balance with where we are in life and what we feel like we're supposed to be doing or what we're doing at that time. However, ladies and gentlemen, the spirit, that is the leg of that triangle that gets absolutely no attention for about 90% of the people out there. And I don't understand why, because the spiritual side of body, mind, and spirit is probably the most important side because it is infinity. It lasts forever. Long after your body kicks and goes to the ground, your soul crosses over, spiritually speaking, you're still there. You're still around. And you can't kill that energy, that spirit. And that's why it's the most important, because the spirit side of this triangle is going to be lasting the longest for all of eternity when the body and the mind will eventually go. The balance triangle is very interesting. I may have perhaps put my own spin on it because, as many of you know, I am of the Christian faith. But I want you to hear me out, because the things that I'm going to tell you are just not my opinion or not ancient philosophy, but they're also things that are backed by science in this DNA, genomes, and so forth. They are finding some very incredible things they never thought were actually something that was possible, and mainly talking about blood and blood. You can get your DNA components. You can find out illnesses now. You can find out if you're a candidate for breast cancer. You can look up somebody's tree and find out if they're going to have a particular, more of a chance of a particular disease becoming something that they're going to have to deal with. And that's why they get your medical history when you go in and you get a checkup, because they want to see what there's a likelihood of you getting that's being passed down. See, that's all part of your blood DNA. It's part of your blood tape recording, I call it. So that physical things actually are recorded in your bloodline. And now they've discovered through science that hardships, things that happened in somebody's family tree, can get trickled down into their bloodline. Let's say there was a situation during a particular world war of the past or any type of a war, and you had ancestors that didn't get enough food, had to deal with starvation. The genetics or the body makeup that deals with that trigger of that you didn't get enough food gets passed down and recorded like a tape recording in your bloodline. And for the next 12 to 15 generations, you could have people who never get enough food. They're constantly feeling hungry. Smoke. If you smoke, you pass it down in your blood recording for the next 10, 15 generations. It can skip a generation and go to the next generation. Alcoholism, all these things are recorded now in your blood, in your DNA that gets passed down. So there is a cause and an effect of not living a spiritual life, basically. Body, mind, and spirit. There's a cause and effect when you don't take good care of your body. I think we all know that. There's a cause and effect when you don't sharpen your mind. and not just the fact that maybe you won't get the same opportunities. But when you don't invest in mindful things, with time, your mind will become aged and not capable of functioning in the same way if you don't keep it sharp. That's all science. There is a cause and effect as well, ladies and gentlemen, of choosing not to live a spiritual life. We talked about the ancestral recordings. There are things that your ancestors may have committed as well. From a spiritual standpoint, and when you're not spiritually aligned, you feel it. You know it. You can ask people who are very spiritual and on a spiritual journey, and they'll tell you when they feel like they're off that journey and they have to get back on. It just something feels amiss. Something just doesn't feel right. When there are atrocities or things committed in your ancestry, when things were committed to your ancestors, great atrocities, whatever you want to call it, bad things, those things that get recorded, there's a good chance that you act and are reactive the way that you are and you don't understand why. It could be your blood calling on you from things that happened in your past that are still recorded in your DNA that trigger you, that get to you, that cause you to react a certain way, and people are like, well, what's your problem? There's more going on in your family tree, ladies and gentlemen, than you probably realize in the spiritual respect. It causes you to be a certain way. Things that happen get trickled down into the family. These are all spiritual matters that are backed by science. It's backed by science. It's interesting. People who choose not to be a spiritual person, I encounter them quite frequently. Everybody has the right. I'm not offended. Everybody has free will. A lot of times I'll deal with police officers or law enforcement in my counseling situations, and they are not religious people, some of them, and that's because they claim that they have seen so many atrocities committed against children that they can't believe that there would be a loving God that would allow these things to happen. I get that question a lot. Why do bad things happen to good people if there's a loving God? I'm going to give you that answer. I actually give it all the time. In this world, there is real evil. I think we all know that. In this world, there is real evil. Open season on you and your family if you don't have the protection plan. It's open season on you and your family if you don't have that spiritual protection plan. In the physical realm, would you let your kids go play out in the street with cars coming back and forth? Your little kid, would you do that? Would you let the little kids, the innocent children out in the street playing with cars flying by in the middle of a highway, I-77? Would you just say, go out there and play ball? That's okay. We'll just take our chances. Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. But you're doing it in the spirit realm. You're doing it in the spirit realm if you don't practice the spiritual things that you need to and teach your children spiritual things. If you don't let them know that there is a protection plan. If you don't teach them how to engage and be in protecting themselves and their future generations. It's open season. God doesn't cause bad things to happen to people. In this world, there is real evil, and bad things will happen because this world belongs to Satan. Bad things will happen in this world, but you can still be protected, and you can still have that insurance plan. I'll go over more of that in a minute. But just to give you an example, I get this all the time from cops. The best way I can relate to them is, first of all, I feel really bad because they do suffer. They do have anguish over the things that they see. I just don't know how they do it. The closest I ever came to being in law enforcement, I felt like a cop when I was working for an organization, and I had so much crime going in and out of that building as a supervisor. I was constantly having to protect little kids, the center in the middle of the ghetto, constantly having to protect these kids. I felt like a cop. And especially for my female law enforcement sisters. I mean, kudos to you. I don't know how you pull it off, because it's one of the most unpretty things to be a female cop when you deal with it every day. You lose touch with your feminine side. it's like you have to go home and switch hats if you have a family or a partner at home, because you're just such in this this mindset of having to be the protector and looking over your shoulder all the time. It's hard to all of a sudden become the feminine mother or the partner that you need to be. I mean, I totally get that. I don't know how these women do it. They are superhuman people, females who are in the law enforcement and military. They really are, to do this every day. It takes a lot to turn that off, and I bet it messes with relationships. I can only imagine. But when it comes to law enforcement and they see evil, some of them have come to me crying after I go into a house and seeing what they've seen against children of all races. It has nothing to do with race. To see what happens to people coming in my office as a clinical pastor, an ordained chaplain, and crying because they can't unsee what they saw. And then all of a sudden they question God. And all I can tell them, well, if you don't believe in God, I know you believe in good and evil. I know you believe in good and evil. And both of those have to have a source from which they came. There can't be evil and not be good. There can't be good and not be evil in this spiritual battle that we have taking place on this planet. There's both. And when you live in the spirit realm and you understand spiritual things, you'll come to realize that more and more. That really starts to culminate. But breaking it down very frankly and understanding that there has to be a place, that a starting point that good comes from and that evil comes from. Even the law enforcement and the people that are the protectors of this planet, all of them, they get a special closeness, a special ear from God, because in the physical realm, they're protectors. They battle good and evil. Whether they believe in God or not, I don't care. They're battling evil. They got a special, special ear. God bends his ear toward that. Of course, how powerful they would be if they would understand that they need to be spiritual people when they do this battle. But there is a battle going on. How can you look at the world today and not think so, ladies and gentlemen, that there's more going on with all taking place in the spirit realm? And there's cause and effect as to why that happens. Cause and effect that may go back generations ago in particular people. Maybe you, maybe me. I have a very rich history. I started writing down stuff. It's shocking to me, my history. It's just so incredibly rich in so many ways, but with it comes a certain amount of evil that I know took place. If it wasn't the case, ladies and gentlemen, if all we are to be created to better ourselves and better our offspring, if that's all that really matters to us, then why are people who have achieved that one physical goal so unhappy? I don't know. I've encountered maybe 4 or 5 millionaires personally, personal friends of mine. Half of them I've counseled, very unhappy. Some of them have tried every antidepressant, every great therapist out there. Can't seem to fulfill anything, because you're very successful in your body. You're very successful in your mind. These people are smart. They know how to make money. But they never worked on the spiritual side of that triangle. If they would have, having body, having mind, if they would have, then the rich and the famous people that we know out there, well, they would be happy and sober, okay, and not giving up to such incredible psychosis. Let me tell you an incident I had as a reporter. I found myself in the back of a limousine with John Voight, well-known actor, the Deer Hunter, been around a long time. I was interviewing him for a particular magazine, and we got way off course. With the interview, we got way off course. I finally just said, let me ask you something. In everything that you've accomplished, you've made millions. Everybody knows who you are as far as serious acting goes. You have a famous daughter. all these things people would view as incredible blessings, incredible ways of beating the odds. Thousands and thousands would love to be in your shoes. Perhaps millions would love to. Well, then, John, why did you get hooked on drugs and alcohol? Now, maybe some people would be offended at that question, but you got to know John Voight. He actually looked at me and goes, you know what? That's a good question. And I'm thoroughly enjoying this conversation. So that's good. He said, because people don't realize it doesn't matter what you have in the physical sense, none of that will fill that hole in your soul. And when you got a hole, it becomes diseased, diseased. It becomes a disease. You can't even think straight. You grasp for anything to not feel the pain and the suffering of that disease. Anything. I'm like, wow, did John Voight just tell me that fame and fortune's a disease? Did I hear that correctly? It's a good conversation. He was being dropped off, got out of limo. I enjoyed this conversation thoroughly. Never saw the guy again. Don't even know if he read the write-up. Probably didn't. But that was interesting to get his perspective and his point of view because it helped me grow. It helped me understand. Everybody from day one in this world is pushed towards fame and fortune some way or another, parents, school teachers, you name it. That you got to have survival of the fittest, as science calls it, to be able to survive, to be the best genetic material, to go forth and reproduce, to make better genetic material. That's the basis of science, guys. Science. To produce better genetic material to survive. And people get mad at me because I'm not a scientist. That's the bottom line of science. Being able to reproduce bigger and better, whether you're a bug, a bacteria, or a human being, that's your goal as far as science is concerned. Well, okay, from a great animal instinct point of view, I would agree. As the most common of animal people, I agree with you, science. But as a spiritual person, I know there's more. John Voight just clarified that point. It becomes a disease when you have a hole in your soul. It becomes a disease and you'll grasp at anything to make it feel better. And all the world offers is drugs and alcohol at that point. Unless you have people who are spiritual, holy people doing their job and doing what they're supposed to do, then they will get the answer. The spiritual doctors out there. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a spiritual doctor. That's what I'm doing. I'm a spiritual doctor. Probably thought I was a martial arts master instructor, didn't you? Well, I'm that too by day, but by night I'm something totally different. I am Batman. Okay. I would just like for you to take this in very small bites if you're not someone of great spiritual understanding. Maybe this blog was for you today. To at least get on the path of getting balanced in body, mind, and spirit. Understanding that there is a battle of good and evil going on. And if you say you're not a religious or spiritual person, you're already playing into that battle. And it's not on the side you need to be on. Do your war cry. Everybody out there, what's your war cry? Everybody should have one. What side are you on? You don't pick a side by default. You'll go to one side. It's not the side you should be on. Again, there's only two sides. Can you stay very focused along with all the things that you have wanting to accomplish? Guys, I did a bucket list when I was about 17 years old. It's so funny because I cleaned out a bunch of stuff during COVID-19 and I found all these journals, a big box packed with journals and writings. I'm a writer. I started writing at 12 years old and I just found a ton of stuff. Started at age 12. I think I stopped doing the journal thing somewhere in my early 30s when I got called to do some other spiritual things. And as a holy person and as a counselor. I just started to take all those writings and just give them to heaven. Started to talk to God a lot more. So I didn't write it down like I used to. But anyway, I discovered that I had a bucket list. Everything that I wanted to accomplish. I don't know. At that time, I was still a teenager. I had about 10, 15 things that I wrote down that I wanted to do. Much to my surprise, I had accomplished every single one of those goals before the age of 40, or by the age of 40. Okay, I know, I'm 41, okay? So it's taken me a lifetime. I'm just kidding. Maybe. Okay, guys, so anyway, everything I had on there that I wanted to be a black belt. Well, geez, I mean, I blew that by a long time ago. That's fourth Dan, and I'm seventh Dan. I had on there that I wanted to be very efficient at certain practices, that I wanted to win a beauty pageant, that I wanted to be able to explore the lands of my ancestors, everything. I wanted to write a book. Well, I wrote four books. Wanted to be on TV, did it for over 20, 25 years. I mean, everything. And I'm not bragging. I'm just letting you know that that's how powerful it is. And that's that extra boost of fuel and energy when you are reasonably smart, your body's healthy, and you're on a spiritual journey. It's a balance that will absolutely cause you to be able to achieve everything that you can. I mean, just by being a human being, created in the image of God, you can do all these great things. But now you factor in that insurance plan, making sure that you don't walk around with this spiritual disease after becoming rich and famous, like John Voight was talking about. That insurance plan is a blood-anointed plan, a blood covenant plan. And in martial arts, talking to somebody, made a blood covenant with another martial artist that is handing him over his legacy or whatever. Well, I made a blood covenant with Jesus Christ because that's my protection plan for me and my children and my generations to come. I have to clean and cleanse the blood of all the bad stuff that was in there from ancestors, maybe hundreds of years ago. Some of them were very pagan. Some of them, I don't know what they did. But I know it's in my blood, and I don't want that blood calling out to other things to take place in my life. So I have the protection plan, and it is the blood of Christ. You need to plead it over yourself and your children. You need to pray. You need to teach your kids how to pray. Don't let them go play out in I-77 and go, oh, yeah, go ahead. We'll just take our chances. You're going to get hit by a car. That's it. Do you have that protection plan? You need it. That's my spiritual walk. That's what's kept me going, kept me successful, and kept me protected. I just gave it all to you right there. All right. Body, mind, and spirit. Culminating, making it all work together. Ladies and gentlemen, I got some appearances coming up. This weekend, June 24th through 27th at Radford University in Radford, Virginia, is Karate College. Karate College. I am the first female to ever be able to do that. People think that's cool, but I'm like, well, gee, what took you so long, Jerry? Contact Jerry Beasley. Bill Wallace is, of course, the headliner. He'll be there. But you don't want to get details from Bill. Contact Jerry Beasley, okay? My particular seminar will be on Saturday, 24, 26, that's the 26th, 2 o'clock. Come on out. It is hands-on, and we teach it some basic Hoshin-Soul self-defense techniques that I teach in Native American tribal areas to help my sisters who are struggling with a horrible, horrible issue of missing and murdered indigenous women. Google it. Look it up. Thousands of women gone missing. This is my way that I contribute. I mean, you're going to see what I teach. So obviously, it's not all Bruce Lee stuff, okay? It's just basic stuff. Have a good time there in Karate College, my old stopping grounds there in Radford, Virginia. Grew up not too far from that area in Roanoke, Virginia. So anyway, hope to see you guys there. Then the end of July, July 29th, 30th, and 31st at Las Vegas, Galaxy Theater events at Action on Film Martial Arts take center stage. Listen, if you've ever wanted to write a book or you want to get you wrote a book and you need to get it out there, contact Jesse Bowen to get the details of how to get registered for this event. This is you taking center stage with all the trade tricks of the secret, the secret tricks of the trade. I'll be there along with a bunch of guest speakers talking about, I'm going to basically talk about getting attention, of how you can get attention if you're a talent, someone of talent you want to get out there, put out there, not just books, but TV or whatever. And then Action on Film, I believe, is actually hosting auditions for people who want to be in movies and stuff. So contact Jesse Bowen if that's your thing. It'll be really good. Gee, I think everybody should write a book. Everybody's got a story to tell, but I'm a writer, so. Anyway, that's right. That's in Vegas. Let's see. Got some stuff coming up this fall already. Getting booked for Come on, brain. I had no coffee when I did this because I'm on deadline, and I apologize for Miss Jessica for pushing the envelope on getting these things into you. Okay. The Black Dragon Fighting Society is going to be having an event in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm going to be speaking at that seminar. Contact Don Miskell. Don Miskell. Gosh, I know that there's one more event that I've got to do. Let's see. Let me go over here and pull my list and let you know. Okay. Duh. All right, so the Black Dragon Fighting Society event is going to be October the 15th in Lexington. That's Don Miskell. Contact him, M-I-S-K-E-L, I believe. October 1st through 3rd, how can I forget this? The Sport Karate Museum presents the Power of Women in Martial Arts in Houston. A great gathering of some of the first female martial artists to ever enter the martial arts arena. And no, they're not going to be on walkers and have canes. They're actually in pretty good shape. So come on out, especially if you're female and you train in martial arts. Contact Gary Lee. He's got just a whole list of people that are going to be talking and doing stuff. And so, I mean, it's a great opportunity to come out. And I don't remember all the speakers, but I remember that I'm speaking. So, well, that's good, right? All right. Listen, you guys, we're all on the same journey. Pray, pray, pray. Thanks for everything. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.